Hi, this is Sean Benson from Harvest Church in Warrensburg, Missouri. I want to thank you for joining us for this week's podcast. For more resources, log on to harvestwarrensburg.com.
Oh, man. Well, Misty and I actually, I know we've kind of said this before, especially as we're approaching this time. We've been here 10 years now. We got hired in 2010. So it's kind of hard to believe, especially probably for the Nolkers who've been here forever. You know, I mean, is it hard to believe Michael Stith was here 17 and I'm 10 and a half. I mean, you know, pushing in. It's just kind of crazy, I think. It just went like it was a blink of an eye, you know. And I don't think I recognized the significance. In fact, I'm fairly certain I didn't recognize the significance of being hired in 2010 at the start of the decade. I don't know that I ever even had a thought about that or put that together, but as we've come to this place in our journey, we really realize the significance because there's something happening in the spiritual atmosphere, not just over Harvest, but it's body of Christ wide, where there's a threshold that the body of Christ is walking through, you know. And I mean, I know more specifically what we've heard God say about us, but I've just begun to, as I dialogue with other pastors, I see what's happening in churches. He's shaking things up. I mean, God is, you know, we've been talking, I've been preaching this last several weeks really just about cleansing and walking through this threshold of time, and it's significant. It's literally a change up. It's a shake up. Like people are, I think, beginning to have their eyes opened to new callings they didn't even know they were supposed to be doing. And you know, that's like literally that's like a shake up. Like, oh, people have brand new eyes to see. It's something that's so different, and we really feel that significantly here as well. We feel like in the spirit we've come to this period of time where God is suggesting to us that everything from here on out will be different. And it was this period of time where it's kind of funny because over the last year I've wrestled a lot with vision and where are we going? What's God saying? And at some point I woke up to this reality that the vision statement that we had written, I believe the Lord began to tell me that's what's gotten us here. The vision that we had as a church has gotten us the first 10 years, but the vision that we had as a church will not get us the next 10. You know, as we cross through this threshold, it's like everything is going to be different. It's going to look different. And listen, I know I'm speaking a little bit in vague generalities. That's because I don't know what it's all going to look like. I have some things I've seen, but I don't fully understand, except that I can tell you what I'm feeling in the spirit as we've now crossed officially in. We crossed over preemptively through the Jewish New Year here a month ago or something. I think it was November, you know, and now officially on our own calendar, we've crossed through the New Year as well. And God's doing something. It's a shift. It's a work, and it caused us again to evaluate our mission, our vision statements. And in fact, we got to this place organically as a church where every single department began to work on changing their vision. You know, so we have the restorations ministry looking at the vision and kind of going, man, what's God saying? And beginning to revamp and work and wrestle with God over it. The children's ministry the same, the youth ministry the same, and of course, us for the whole church as well. And again, just fully realizing that everything that we had kind of been writing on all of a sudden didn't seem to fit who we'd become and who God was saying that we are. And it's funny, I present it like this and you're like, oh my gosh, what's the new vision for the church? It's like exactly the same and yet it's not at all. I don't even know how to describe it to you. And so I just decided what I would do is the rough draft that I've been working on, I will write. Chris, you can go ahead and, or whatever, whoever's back there can throw that. Who is? I can't even see, they're hidden.
Ellie.
I see eyeballs and brown hair. Ellie, thank you. Literally, it looks like Tim Allen, the tool man, the next door neighbor. They had the, well, is it Wilson? Looked like Wilson back there. I'm going to call you, you're Wilson from now on. We'll just read this together. With wholeness and healing at our core, our vision is to bring spirit, soul, and bodily transformation to individuals by creating an atmosphere where God is present and people encounter him through worship, the preaching of the word, the demonstration of the kingdom, and through training and equipping, and inevitably resulting in transforming communities, transformed people, transforming communities. You know, so the vision hasn't changed, and yet it's like, it's so difficult for me to articulate it because it's like, it feels like everything has radically shifted and everything has changed. And what we, you know, what I come up with as a baseline, like the expounding on the small mission or vision statement that we have really feels the same. It feels like, well, that's what we've kind of been going after forever. But the way that we articulated what we were doing and how we were going about it has shifted. And it's as if we've, it's like what we have set up before got us to this point. We arrived and all of a sudden we realized, oh, we got there. And now we get to go there. And it's like everything's changing and yet everything is not changing. I don't know. I know it sounds really crazy and probably like, you know, it's confusing and goofy. But hopefully it'll make more sense as we continue here. As I was praying for the new year, I felt like God said, it's time to burn the fields. It's time to burn the fields. And I had this vision of a cornfield. And around here, you know, it doesn't take much imagination because that's what we see every year, right? And the cornfield, after it's been, you know, fully harvested, it usually has a few random stalks that are sticking up and everything else has kind of been cut down, you know. And it, you know what I mean? It's very clear in the vision that I had, but just in the natural, it's very clear that the end of that season is upon us. It's done. You know, you're not going to be growing corn anymore. It's already been harvested. You know, all of that work is complete. And it's like, it's at this place then that we burn the fields. And we really felt like God was kind of saying, all of our history as harvest, everything that goes into our DNA that makes us who we are, is not going anywhere. But it is being shifted. And the fields of history are being burned, if you will. I know it may sound bad to those who've been with us forever and founding fathers. Trust me, it's not a bad thing. But it's like the DNA, all of the history, all of the stuff that got us here is now being sown into the soil of something brand new. Like all of the nutrients are still there, but God is giving us a clean platform, a brand new starting place. And it's like when you burn your fields around here, when you have this clean slate, you may not even have the same crop the next year. You understand? Like they might switch it up and go with beans or something. You know, it has to do with all the soil. Let's talk to Andrew about it, you know? But it may not even be the same crop. It's like it kind of looks the same. It's still a field. We're still doing farming. But everything that was, all of the season that was, it clearly came to an end. And we morphed all of that into the soil of what God was doing in this brand new place where everything is going to look different. All of the DNA is there. All of the history is there. But it's going to look radically different. I can't even begin to tell you how radically different it's going to look. I can only tell you what we're sensing in the spirit. And it's this place of the burning of the fields that I believe that we're at as a ministry. You're all like, I'm so confused about what he's saying and where he's going right now. It's just so clearly in the spirit to us that we've come to the end of a season and the beginning of something that's brand spanking new. And with that, we've discovered that the name Harvest Fellowship Church no longer defines who we are, who we've become, or where we believe that God is having us go. And so before you guys literally have a heart attack, we've made a minor adjustment to our name officially and legally. We're no longer Harvest Fellowship Church. We're just Harvest. We're Harvest. And this is the way that you guys already speak anyways. You know, when you ask somebody, hey, where do you go to church? They're like, oh, I go to Harvest. Right? Nobody ever says we go to Harvest Fellowship Church. In fact, every email I ever send, I usually get somebody who corresponds and says, oh my gosh, dude, chop that thing down. That's like ridiculous. You can't even fit it into the field. But we've become Harvest. It's where we're going. And so we've kind of chopped some of the stuff off. Of course, church is a clarifier. This is a rough draft of our brand spanking new logo. Not the bridge, but what you see in the middle of the bridge. We're still tweaking things. We're still making some adjustments. But as of this moment and moving on, we are changing everything. We're not Harvest Fellowship Church. We are now Harvest. Harvest Church. Church being the clarifier. And so with that, all of our branding is changing. You know, as you can see, the new logo on the board, we additionally have been behind the scenes creating a new website for you. We've been looking at a new website. If you guys will all pull out your phones for me, just indulge me just for a minute. There are two ways that you can access the brand new website. Harvest Warrensburg, or Harvestburg, if it's more convenient for you to type it in. Just type that into your phones right quick. I want you to go ahead and set your favorites and all of those things to adjust so that this is the site that you begin to use from now on. The more traffic we get, you know, the more exposure, the more we increase on the ranking on Google. That's very important for those who will find us in the coming days. So please traffic the website, but pull that up on your phones. And Ellie, if you'll go ahead and pull that up on the screen as well for those who maybe don't have a smartphone in 2020. So this is our new website. You can maybe just kind of scroll down. You don't have to go through the whole thing, but you know, you can just kind of slowly scroll down just to see. The website on the computer is slightly different than the website on your phone. It's the way that they're formatted is totally different. But we've been working very, very long hours to put this together for you so that the website even reflects the shift that we feel in the spirit from what we were to who we're becoming. So I hope that you'll enjoy that. With that addition, we've also signed up for Spotify, you know, so our pastors, our speakers are now actually out and available on Spotify. Please look us up that way as well. Would you believe that from the first moment, we changed our podcast host provider, and I mean, we've just radically shifted everything. From the moment we changed providers and I signed up with Spotify, I had like 100 downloads the first day on our sermons. You know, and I mean, I've literally have people right now from Muslim countries tapping in and downloading the sermons that you get to hear every day or every week on a Sunday morning. That just blows me away. Indonesia and India and different places. South America is getting lit up. There, people apparently like me down there, I guess. I don't know. But it's so neat to see. It's like instantly there was a shift even over all of that. And it continues to go with, you know, significant downloads even on a daily basis. That's so exciting for me. It's so exciting because the Lord told me a long time ago as I was wrestling, if you don't know by now, I don't like show, I don't like hype, I don't like self-promotion, I don't like any of those kinds of things at all. And I felt like the Lord told me to get onto Instagram. And I was like, it had been years I'd been resisting it. And anyways, it was just something I felt led by him to do. And so I was trying to be obedient, even though I didn't really like it. And I was really wrestling before God one morning, just kind of saying, I don't like all this. I don't want to post my stuff out on the web for people to see. You know what I mean? It felt like it's like self, like, you know what I mean? It just kind of felt disingenuous. And I felt like the Lord began to speak to my heart and kind of say something to this effect. Do you believe that God's giving you these words to speak? Well, yeah, I believe. Of course I believe it's God. I wouldn't open my mouth if I didn't feel like it was God, you know? It's like, yeah, of course I believe. So if you believe that I'm giving you these words, it's like, why would you put a cap on the distance that these words can go? And then he began to really challenge me, and it's like, isn't Jesus worthy of your all? And I'm like, I think I know the answer to these questions, you know? Like, isn't Jesus worthy of your all? And it's like, if I've given you a word and I've given you a platform, don't you owe it to Jesus and his name to go as hard after it as you possibly can to garner as much influence and to get that word out to the ends of the earth? Like, doesn't that make sense? And I thought, yeah, Lord, I guess it does make sense. And he was like, listen, like, he was just directly challenging my opposition to this. And obviously that was when we began to do some of those things. And then now on the other side of it, now we see Muslim countries downloading the content. You know, it's mind blowing to think that nations like that, it's like you cannot keep the gospel out. You know, and we get to be, as a small church in rural Missouri, we get to be a part of what God's doing in the nations because of the technological advances and because, in this sense, I've decided to put some content out there, you know, for people to get a hold of. That excites me to no end to see what God is doing, what he's been doing with that, you know. In addition, I fully intended, how many of you know things don't always go the way you want them to go, right? Yeah. I've been working at this stuff for six months behind the scenes. I still didn't get it all done for today, you know, but in light of the name change, in light of the shift, we also wanted to present to you some new options for shirts and for branding. And so I threw a couple of those. Rob's been been working really hard. This one on the left says, Jesus, because coffee's not enough. You know, And Rob Martinez literally put that all together from scratch for us, you know. So if you see him, thank him for that. He'll be here second service, and just did a great job. And obviously, that'll have our branding on there as well, so people can clearly identify whose tribe you're with. You know, hashtag healed at Harvest. You know, of course, you can see Harvest Fellowship Warrensburg, the old website is on there because we've been doing this for a long time, and, you know, we didn't even have our name changed when we first designed these shirts. You know, so I love this one. It's my favorite. Wouldn't that be awesome if every single time one of you guys, if you were touched, not every time, I mean, just, you know, one time, but you were touched by God at Harvest, you bought a shirt, hashtag healed at Harvest, and then people out in the marketplace are going, hey, what's the deal with that shirt? And you were like, oh, let me tell you my testimony. Let me tell you about how God touched me on a Sunday morning or a whatever, whatever. You know, let me tell you about how my leg got torn up and wrestling, you know, and how I walked in with a limp and with pain and tendon issues because my knee was twisted in a shape that God didn't design, and how on Sunday morning somebody called out a word of knowledge and God touched me. You know what I mean? Like, it's an open door opportunity for you to become bold. Listen, in 2019, I believe there was a door open to the Harvest. I think there are significant implications on the Harvest, as in this is our church, and the doors that were opened last year for us, but there are also significant implications as it relates to evangelism. And I really believe that God is calling us, not just as a church, as the body of Christ, to get bold. We so disqualify ourselves that we honestly, if you saw the post that I did last week, we really disqualify ourselves because we believe that we have to be clever. We believe that we have to have our apologetics all polished up. We believe that we have to have a seminary degree. We believe in all of these things, but the Word of God literally says that the cleverness that we bring to the table actually nullifies the gospel. And it goes on to say, this is the Apostle Paul, I don't pretend to know, as the most learned individual on the planet, I don't pretend to know anything or to bring any kind of wisdom to the table. I just know Jesus Christ crucified. That's it. And we kind of we buy into this lie that we were like, if I just go preach Jesus and Jesus crucified, people are going to think that's crazy foolishness. And the truth is, some of them will. But to those who God's already releasing grace over, it'll be life to them. It'll be the scent of life to them. See, we feel like it's such a simple message, and I'm not polished, and I don't have all the answers to all of their objections and all this stuff. So we disqualify ourselves from going to do the work that He's commanded us to go and do. And so all of that to say, this is an opportunity for you, for those of you who've been touched, those of you who want to get touched, those of you who have seen it happen in the atmosphere. All of it is a testimony when you're wearing that shirt out in the marketplace, an easy, low-hanging softball pitch, low-hanging fruit. Like, this is an easy open door for you to share the gospel with the people that are around you. The simple gospel that is empowered by the Holy Spirit to bring lives and to save lives, to bring them into the kingdom. This is so on God's heart. This is so on God's heart. So we're helping you. We're giving you an opportunity through some of our branding to be a mouthpiece for Jesus out here in this place so that we can effectively meet the goal that we have. What's our goal? We want to see this place transformed. We want to see this place transformed. That's been our vision from day one. That's been this church's vision from day one. We want to see this place transformed. I want to get to a day in our community where our people are out paying for somebody's groceries at Walmart, or, you know, praying for somebody, prophesying over somebody, you know, laying hands on a hurt knee in the streets, whatever it looks like, and for people to go, oh, those guys must be from Harvest. The normal word on the street, like the normal go-to for people, is to go, oh, that's what that must be Harvest. That's what those guys always do. It's got to be them doing that. It's got to be those guys who paid for those groceries. It's got to be those people helping that old lady across the street. It's got to be, you know what I'm saying? Like, I want to so bring transformation to this community that it's normal that everywhere we go, everywhere these patrons in our community go, they find one of you doing the exploits of the kingdom. That, to me, that's what transformation looks like. And obviously that will continue to bear fruit for a long time coming. So hopefully these kinds of things will be an avenue for that. Second service has an advantage over you in that Rob is bringing a sticker. We've also endeavored to create some stickers for you so that you can turn your automobiles, your laptops, your briefcases, your underwear, whatever you want. into a mobile billboard for the church, you know, with the brand new logo and all of that on there as well. You know, so we'll have those for you. The stuff for the car windows, it's, you know, white letter writing. It doesn't have any of the sticker on the outside edge. It's just the actual name. So they're pretty sharp, you know, so we've got those coming as well. It's also an opportunity for you guys to do better out there on the road. It's meant to help with road rage. You know, you're like, I don't know. I was listening to Stephen Furtick one morning, and he got into an altercation. Hi 10:30. Hi, nice to see you there. I should probably speed up, right, Stephen? So, yeah, there's a live stream. It's recorded. You can get it, you know, whenever you want to get it, but. Stephen Furtick got into an altercation with a guy. He's in the parking lot. He gets out of the car and raises his hands to the guy and says, "What are we going to do here?" You know, so, you know, Stephen Furtick, he's like megachurch pastor. Yeah. And anyways, he says the guy looks down and sees his sticker on his bumper of his car for Elevation Church, and then looks back up at him. Of course, he's, you know, no small guy in that community, right? And all of a sudden, completely changes everything. No, we're good. God bless you, sir. You know, and it was one of the, anyways, it was one of those things where he was like, oh, God, help me. You know, how many of you know we all represent more than just us? We all represent more than just Harvest. We represent the kingdom, the King Jesus, right? It's high time we start representing him well. And some of us need a bumper sticker to help us along in that process, yeah? So shirts, stickers, they're all coming your way. I'll let you know as soon as all that stuff comes in, all the merch. We'll get the worship team to make up a song, you know, about buying all that merch. Yeah. Well, that'll be fun. So a number of years ago, I don't remember now, it's been several years, our Aldi store moved locations and they built a new facility. Do you remember that? Well, Aldi had been here for years before that. I mean, everybody knew they existed. They knew right where they were. In fact, it was more convenient where they were, as far as I was concerned. The vast majority of the town live on this side, don't they? Right? But then they put it all the way on the other side through like 16 stoplights and all this. Like, it's not more convenient. It's just incredibly more visible, right? It's not more convenient for me, anyway. I suspect a lot of you as well. It's just more visible, right? I was talking with the manager after they got that place built and they got started because, listen, we're cheap, man. That's where we shop, right? Right? That's where we go. We try to save wherever we can. I was talking with the manager, and he said, you know, when we built this new facility and we moved locations, he said, we knew we would grow a little bit. He goes, well, we had no idea what would actually happen. And then he began to report to me. And if I remember him saying correctly, he said that their business quadrupled by moving back there. I instantly had a download from Holy Spirit, and my spirit just hit me. And I just thought, oh, that'll be the case for Harvest. I just knew it. I knew in my spirit, if we followed that pattern, we would have the same results. Are you with me so far? Let me make sure I'm following my pathway here to greatness. I don't want to get off track. I want to be true to what I have. But for a number of years, and I'll even add, even for years before I got here, the elders had wrestled with, do we stay at this present location or do we move interior to town? Do we do something different? And for years, I wrestled with them, with this decision, wrestled within myself, wrestled to hear plainly and clearly from God, and never really felt like I had an answer. I've drawn and redrawn this building 100 times. I'm not even kidding you. I've got every parking lot. I've literally been out in the grass with a tape measure, drawing it all out on paper, counting how many parking spots we can put in. You know, the expansion would be 100 feet this way, and that would go here, and then we could, you know what I'm saying? I have done it all, literally, over the years. I have got it all downstairs in a drawer, if you want to see it. I mean, I have thought through every possible scenario there ever was, and I didn't ever really have a beat on what I felt like God was saying until this last year. And this last year, I felt like God made it incredibly plain for us that this building, this location, this facility would no longer support the needs that we have. It would no longer support who we've become. That it's not representing who we've become. And it's not going to be adequate for where we're going. We already don't have room. If I put all of you together, people would have to stand, you know? And so this last year, I really started wrestling with this. And the elders, you need to know, if you don't know, that we don't do anything here unless we have 100% agreement on our elder board. And I can tell you, because I had a number of shirts that were ready to present to you that the elders did not think so highly of. They were awesome. They were amazing. Young people really liked them. The old elders, they did not like them so much. Yeah. But we don't do anything here unless we have 100% agreement. And I want to submit to you, your elders are in 100% agreement that we believe we've been hearing God for a while on this. This is not new. It may just be new to you. You know, we believe we've heard God. We believe that this facility no longer will work. And we believe that we're actually supposed to put this property up for sale. You might remember James Gall came here recently. In the midst of all of this wrestling, we actually invited him in to a consultation. And how many of you know he's not just an accurate prophetic father in the faith, he's also a father of this house. He was one of the founding pastors, one of the founding members. And so we had a consult with him just to talk about the things that we felt that God was saying to us. And at that time, James, at this table, I was at Greg's house, he lit up and he goes, "Holy smokes." He said, "I had a dream many years ago." He said, "I've never told another soul." He said, "I've been sitting on it until the fullness of time." And he goes, "And now I believe it is." And he began to confirm to us everything that we had already been thinking, everything that God had been stirring in our hearts. And that culminated in James having another dream, which then he stood up, and I believe actually orchestrated by God, because in the elder group, we were like, okay, we hear confirmation on God. Maybe we'll let the congregation know in January what we're thinking, you know? And James stands in this platform and says, "And you're gonna sell this church." You know, we were like, "All right then, I guess, you know." And we, you know, when you hear a prophet, it doesn't matter who the prophet is. You know, you still take the word back and you still weigh it. But I'm telling you, this was deep confirmation for stuff we'd been wrestling over for years, stuff we had already brought conclusion over. And God was just using James to confirm and to even release us into the things, you know, that God has for us. It was just a beautiful time, you know, together with him. And with that confirmation. And so I don't know when that's going to be. I suspect probably in the spring, you know. But it's a huge step of faith. I mean, a huge step of faith. Sometimes I just have to put the numbers away, you know, because it's like I've got all kinds of faith until I look at the numbers, you know, and then I kind of go, ooh, because I'm the guy that has to practically work it out to some degree. You know what I'm saying? Okay. I'm kind of overstating that, because at the end of the day, God's going to work it out. But you understand. I still have to administrate what he's doing, you know? And so it's daunting. It's a daunting task. But I began last year to feel God stirring in me and saying, "Do you believe me? Do you trust me? Do you trust me with the words that I have released over Harvest over the years? You know, do you believe what I've said?" I'm like, "Yes, Lord, I believe, you know? There are days, you know, when I have a little doubt come in and I do what I teach you to do. I take those thoughts captive because I really believe God spoke to us." And he's continued to confirm it over and over again. Say, "Yes, Lord, yes, I believe." Well, how many of you know faith without works is dead? And I began to feel God wooing me into this place where he was saying, "If you really believe these things that I have said over you as a church, it's time for you to put your money where your mouth is. It's time for you to begin to act on all of those things I've already put in your heart." You know, and so here we are, you know, like looking at this impossible task that's before us, you know, literally not knowing what tomorrow is going to bring or what we're supposed to do, just trying to put one foot in front of the other, trying to be obedient, trying to step out in faith, trying to trust the Lord with this mountain that is so far bigger than what we can accomplish on our own or what we can even understand. But the initiation of something that will get us into the future that God has for us. How many of you know this building was built here in 1978? It's been 41 years. We have an opportunity, congregation. We have an opportunity before us to partner with what God is saying, with what God is doing. We have an opportunity to partner with him in such a way that we're able to create something that will get us down the road, I believe further than 40, but another 40. We have an opportunity to do something right now that will set Harvest Ministries up and create a legacy that will withstand the generations that will come, that will set them up for success, not set them up to win the battles that we have, right? So I guess I'm coming with very limited time, and I'm asking, will you partner with us? You know, will you partner with us to do this? Because I'm telling you, even if we, and here's the other part of it, this is going to be painful. Yeah. I'm just going to throw it out there right up front. You know, if we were to sell this building, you understand that now a church that's had a building for 40 years no longer has a building anymore. And so all of a sudden, now we're a mobile church, and Corey's got to put together a team to bring all of our sound equipment in just so we can do church. You know what I mean? It's going to be painful, and there's going to be a point in the middle of this journey that you're probably going to look at Moses, and you're going to be like, why did you take us out of Egypt just to kill us? This is horrible, because we can't see an end to what's happening, you know? But I'm here to tell you, though, that when we're in that wilderness, when we're in this mobile place trying to figure out what God's saying and where we're supposed to be going, I just want to submit to you, we're going to our promised land. And there's pain between here and there, but it's going to be glorious. It's going to be amazing what he's doing. You know, it has been on my heart for a very long time that we were supposed to move to Highway 50. That's what we're contending for. You know, I'm not contending for a move that goes closer to town that puts us on some back hill somewhere. No. James actually prophesied that we were moving to 50 with a high view. And what I've come to realize in much, much prayer over the subject is that what God is suggesting is he's moving us to much higher visibility. Just like that Aldi store, he's taking us from an obscure backside where people pass him over and head down to Walmart, and he's moving us into a premier piece of property and giving us exposure and allowing us to step into to influence that we just can't make up, we can't do on our own, but it's something that he's doing, and so we're contending for a premier piece of property. But how many of you know a premier piece of property in Warrensburg, Missouri is very expensive? We're talking, you know, one property we were looking at, $1.3 million. That's just the land. How many of you know it's going to take a miracle for us to be able to advance from here? And the sale of this property is just a fraction of what's necessary for us to be able to realize the things that God's placed on our heart, the vision that he's placed on us. Right? It's going to take a miracle. But you might recall the story of King Asa just recently, right? Asa, I don't know. Feels bad to say Asa, doesn't it? Except for in the moment that was recorded in the Bible, it feels very appropriate. Yeah. I don't know how I've made it 10 years. I'm sorry. If you remember the story, he was looking out in the natural with odds that were against him in the natural that there was no way he could ever manage. He could not do it on his own in the natural, but God had given them promises. How many of you know that we're not called to look out in the natural and to survey our situation based on what we see with our natural eyes? Rather, we're called in the face of what we see with our natural eyes to take God at his word, to stand in faith, and to continue to put one step in front of the other. As a son, we're led by the Spirit of God in this process, one step in front of the other, advancing into the miracle that God has for us. Why do we believe that? Because he said it. I believe in this year 2020, God has spoken to me that we're entering into a period of suddenlies. We're in it into a period of time where what doesn't look like we're going to get breakthrough in the natural, maybe it literally is impossible for you. What you're facing is absolutely impossible, but then all of the sudden, you kind of step back and go, oh my gosh, God did it. He literally just did it again in my life. He did it for us years and years ago now when we got out of debt. You know, I had set a budget in faith, and it was in faith, and like it wasn't even possible, but we were trusting God for it. And then all of a sudden, I woke up one day, and I started running the numbers, and I realized we were going to get out of debt 6 months prior to the date that we had set, and the date we had set was already miraculous. It was like a suddenly, where all of a sudden, oh my gosh, God showed up and did it. And he just did it again in our lives. And I believe he spoke to me. It's a prophetic declaration over what he's doing in this house, what he's doing in the body of Christ at large, starting in 2020, this year of suddenlies, where it doesn't look like it's possible for me to get the breakthrough. And all of a sudden you go, he did it. He just showed up. And to make a super long story short, let me read some scripture. Recently, a BLN pastor, you know, I should have known this was going to take too long, like last week, right? BLM pastor submitted this out of Isaiah 43. God really began to confirm everything that I have been saying to you. Let me read it out of the Message version for you. I think you'll see it on the board as well. says, when you're in over your head, I will be there with you. When you're in rough waters, you will not go down. When you're between a rock and a hard place, it won't be a dead end. Because I'm God, your personal God, the Holy of Israel, your Savior. A little later he says, this is what God says, the God who builds a road right through the ocean, who carves a path through pounding waves, the God who summons horses and chariots and armies, they lie down and they can't get up. They're snuffed out like so many candles. He's talking about those who will resist the vision for coming against you. Forget about what's happened. Remember we talked about burning the fields? Forget about what's happened. Don't keep going over old history. Be alert, be present. I'm about to do something brand new. It's bursting out. Don't you see it? There it is. I'm making a road in the desert, rivers in the badlands. Come on. That is what God is saying to the body of Christ. That's what God is saying to Harvest. I wanted to say Harvest Fellowship. That's what God is saying to Harvest. You know, that's what he's saying in this hour. I believe that's what he's saying over you in your personal situations as well. I prophesy it over you. I prophesy the victory over you. The victory in the desert for what seems impossible, suddenly becoming possible in your heart, in your life, suddenly finding that God showed up and did what no man could ever possibly do. And I prophesy over Harvest as well. Suddenly showing up and doing what was impossible to do. But how many of you know God's still looking for a partner? He's still looking for people who he can rest on and show himself strong through, right? It's out of man's bosom, he said, that it would flow, that finances would flow. And so I'm inviting you to partner. We need your prayer. You know, if I'm really going to share vision, I just talked to the elders. I said, man, I don't know. I think maybe God's saying, go for it. And so I'm going, okay, we've been looking at this other property which got sold, and, you know, maybe that's still it. But boy, I sure would love to have the old economy lumber property. Can you imagine a brand new Harvest Fellowship parked right between the new Culver's and Walmart right over there? We become part of the new wing of business expansion over that, the development of that. Let's say it's like 50 acres. I'll just take a part of it. So if you know who that guy is, start praying he gives us some. Because I'm asking the Lord to literally just donate the property to us. You got 50, what's 5? I'll take 5 just to get started. That's not the end of the vision. That's just us getting started. But I believe that if God just gets us started, he'll finish what he started, and I don't have to see the end of it, right? I just have to trust in the middle. I'm just asking, Father, send it. There'd be nothing for them to give it. And you know what else it would do for that area? Having a couple hundred people in a church that begins to quadruple like what Aldi did in that area, it would bring so many mouths and dollars into that business district that it would incentivize businesses to come. I mean, literally, this is just, I can't tell you everything. It's just a, let me end with this at 10:47. Please forgive me. Let me end with this. I've been looking at a company called Sprung for a very long time. I've been dialoguing with them. I've been running numbers. I've been talking to them. Let me present to you very potentially, the elders haven't agreed on it because they're a couple of bums. I'm joking. They haven't agreed on it. Let me present to you your new Harvest. A designated children's wing with its own entrance, a grand foyer. Go ahead and flip to the next one. Let's look at that foyer. A grand foyer with coffee shop, several designated seating areas so that you guys can hang out all day and establish community together, right? This is what we're talking about building, you know, a state-of-the-art sanctuary where Chris finally gets the speakers he wants, and with professional sound, professional lighting, professional stage. Have you seen our team up here?
Yeah.
No, we're going to give them a proper stage, right? Right? You know, just to give you an idea, I wanted to give you a visual because, listen, up to this point, I've been giving you vague generalities. I've been giving you, hey, maybe you should give a little bit of finances to our building fund. Please pray for us. You know, we need to raise money. Because I believed what God was saying, and I knew that it was going to take dollars to get us there. So I just kind of threw it out there. We created a fund. It's $75,000 right now. You know, so we put it out there. We've been saving. I've been doing everything I can to try to fill that up. Because I heard God say, this is what's going to happen. This is where you're going, right? Yes. I can't remember what I was going to say. Oh yeah, but before it was just the future. It was some far off place. Now I'm telling you, the future's here. We're crossing through a threshold where it's no longer out there something that we're going to do someday when we finally hear God. No, that time is literally now. We're actually starting an official building campaign. We're inviting you. Like, would you consider partnering with us financially this year? You know, would you consider, if you've never tithed here before, would you begin to tithe? I've already created the budget, so your tithe, which I wasn't counting on, inserted into the budget, just allows us a surplus at the end of the year that ultimately goes to help this building and helps us advance into what God saved for us. If you haven't ever tithed, please consider doing it. Not only will you be blessed, we will be able to actually fulfill our calling here, right? The nice season's coming up. Consider doing a garage sale. You don't have the money anyway, right? It's just stuff, junk we have all sitting around. I say you don't have the money. What I mean is it's like if you sold it and gave the money to the building, it never was money that was in your hand. So why not donate it to the building, you know? If maybe, like, this is the end of the year, people are getting tax returns, maybe consider tithing off your tax return. Maybe you've never done, maybe consider giving the whole thing. If you're not expecting it, you weren't actually planning on it in your budget, which, by the way, is a really bad idea. Don't ever count on money that you don't know is actually there. Consider donating the whole thing. Would you consider partnering with us to pray this in, because a miracle comes because people are praying? And financing it by saying, Lord, I don't know what I can do, but I'm going to go ahead and do $5 above and beyond my tithe. I'm going to do 100. I'm going to sacrifice. Maybe some other giving, some other things that you naturally do or go in other places. Can I just put Harvest out as a great, fruitful place for you to sow your money this year? You know, because the truth is God's looking for partners and we can't do it without you. We won't be able to advance forward in the vision without you. And when I say that I feel God calling us to step out in faith, I need you to know this up front. I'm not looking to get into massive debt that's way over our head that we can't afford. And all, I hope you know me better than that. That's not how I operate. Man, I would love to see God show up. Yeah. I would love to see God show up and do this 100% debt-free. Yep. I really believe that's God's best. But it's going to require sacrifice on our part to do it, right? So many other things I wanted to tell you, but I'm not going to because it's 10:51. Yeah? Jesus, thank you for your vision. Thank you for your heart. Thank you, God, that you are the one who makes road through the ocean. You make impossibilities possible. And you're the God of suddenlies. Father, I thank you that you're suddenly going to visit your children this year with breakthrough that they just never even saw. I thank you that you are suddenly breaking in over Harvest this year in ways that are just impossible for man to accomplish. I thank you, God, that you continue to inject life and health into this church. We thank you for the transformation that we've seen, but more than that, God, we thank you for where you said we're going. And that if you said we're going there, you're going to accomplish it. We trust in you despite what we see. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you. Happy New Year.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to contact us or would like more information about our church or additional podcasts or resources, please visit us online at harvestwarrensburg.com. We hope to see you soon.